Welcome to the Divine Feminine Healers Podcast. It is your host, Angelica. I am an Ayurvedic practitioner, yogini, Reiki master, and intuitive guide. But above all else, I simply want to be known as your spiritual friend, just walking alongside you on this healing journey. You were guided here for a divine reason. Let's unlock your fullest potential. Hello, beautiful people. Welcome back to the Divine Feminine Healers Podcast. It's your host, Angelica, spiritual entrepreneur and Ayurvedic practitioner. And we are coming off of a special new moon in Aquarius, specifically in the star sign of Shabisha. And that was over the weekend. So if you're listening to this in real time, that was over February 19th. Around 11:06 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, it was officially the new moon in Aquarius. And the new moon was actually paired closely to Saturn. And I find that when Saturn and the moon are paired closely together, sometimes it does bring up some grief. That was definitely my personal experience and the experience of my community. And specifically with this new moon in Aquarius and in the star sign of Shabisha, which is all about, represents 100 healers and finding the root cause of your imbalance. And this feels so fresh and prime for everyone who's in my course right now, as they just went through the more intense part of the Ayurvedic cleanse that they are being guided through right now. And there's so much grief that gets brought up to the surface. There's much release and shedding that happens. And we really get down to the core of their imbalances. And so whether you're in a cleanse or not, this is such a great time to set that intention for yourself to really get down to the root cause of what's causing you to feel blocked in your life, whether that feels more of like a physical illness and disease, whether that is a limiting belief that's coming up to the surface. It's really supported during this new moon. And specifically in the zodiac sign of Aquarius, Aquarius is the innovator and really likes to think outside of the box. So while finding the root cause of your imbalance may feel very familiar, like, oh my gosh, I've been trying to heal this one thing for forever, my whole entire life. That's kind of how karma works. And although it may feel like you are still healing the same thing, it's only because you have a deeper awareness of noticing the connection of this one thing that you're healing, and that truly you're always healing a deeper layer. And it's so important to realize and understand what that new layer really is for you, so that you can let go of the guilt and the shame of, oh, I should be at a certain place or not in my healing journey. Trust that all the work that you have already done in yourself is already leading you on the path to where you want to be. And what's being supported right now is knowing and trusting a new and innovative healing way forward. So while this wound is not new to you by any means, the way in which you healed it in the past is going to look completely different in which you are healing it right now. And also what's happening astrologically is a lot of benefic planets, which we don't always get, or at least we haven't gotten within these past couple of years. And right now, Venus and Jupiter are both paired in Pisces. And Venus is this planet of beauty and nourishment, divine feminine, and also can represent our ability to receive money. So while Venus is exalted right now, meaning we'll get the highest expression of all its greatest qualities, it's a really good time right now to be visible for yourself. So whether that is seeking help and nourishment on your healing journey and focusing on that and really bringing to the surface these old wounds so that they can be healed and released. This can also be pertaining to your business and your dharma and bringing these new ideas to life and being visible, whatever platform that you're using, so that you can authentically reach your clients and share your offerings with others and find that deeper connection that you may have been searching for. It's all really supported right now. And I just love the timing of all of this. I always find that I do time a lot of my courses around astrologically. And then sometimes there's just so many harmonious connections that I even missed and they just align perfectly. And this is one of them. Our Divine Feminine Business course starts in just a couple of weeks. And this is a 5-week course to make your dharmic business authentically visible so you can start attracting consistent clients and share your offerings, like your heart-centered offerings, to find soul nourishment on all levels. A lot of my community members are wanting to transition from their jobs that are draining and causing them burnout and exhaustion, or they're at that tipping point where they really want to up-level their spiritual business and have it support them full-time. And I see what is holding back my community members the most is this fear of being seen, this feeling like I need to recoil, I need to dim my light, and carrying this wound for so long that we have self-sabotaged our ability to be seen in our dharmic gifts. And we've been sold the lies that our intuitive gifts are not worthy enough, that they're not enough for others to actually give us something in return to receive. And the truth is that your intuitive gifts are the highest form of intelligence out there. They bring the truest wisdom into our world and really how the collective is going to heal from here on out. So it is so important for you to face this fear of being seen, to make your dharmic offerings visible, and to start living this soul nurturing life. Because when you connect with and build a community that is so aligned with your ideals, there is truly nothing more nurturing. And I am just in awe and in love with this current group of healers who is in the course right now and who is going to be moving on to the Divine Feminine Business Course. They each have such beautiful offerings to the world and have already done such deep healing work already of whatever modalities they were drawn to, and now are ready to take that next step, whether that's calling in more financial abundance or just spiritual abundance. I mean, truly this feeling of connecting with other healers and being able to witness each other in that and to have your offerings be received by that person, there's no greater joy. And I want every single one of you who is listening and who feels like, yes, I want that too. I want it for you. And I know you can experience this once you do the healing work and once you commit to making your offerings authentically visible. So if you'd like to join us in the Divine Feminine Business Course, we start March 14th, and you will all need to sign up for an initial clarity call with me just to be sure that this is the best fit for you. And you can do so with the link in the show notes. Okay, now for today's episode with Alia Lovely. Alia Lovely is a spiritual advisor who helps you tap into your inner wisdom. She is the host of the greatly successful podcast, Spiritual Shit, which I love listening to. And she just has an all-around such down-to-earth vibe and at the same time is so deeply connected to her guides and spirit. And we go everywhere in this conversation, all the way from how we can really start to bring in embodiment rituals into our spiritual practices, because I think that's definitely been missed, especially if you're early on in your spiritual practices and you're into the crystals and into connecting with your guides and astral projecting and being these things outside of our bodies. It's actually so important to come back to body. So we go into that, but then we also talk about all that fun stuff too, because I mean, that is just, my soul loves talking about that type of stuff. So we talk about aliens and guides, and it was such a fun and lighthearted conversation. I know you're all going to love it. I really appreciated when we talk about aliens, because Alia has these incredible experiences with aliens and her guides, which she shares in the podcast, what her recent intuitive experiences has been. She's a highly intuitive. If you haven't already followed her on Instagram and listened to her podcast, you know from her experiences that she shares. And she recently just had a little baby girl, and it's so cool to hear the spiritual experiences that she's having with having a daughter, but then also the experiences that his daughter is having, knowing that she was so recently close to the spiritual world and is having her own connections and just pure-hearted connections with spirits. We also talk about what is going on in the collective right now, a little bit of an energy update from January and February, and then she goes into what energies she's picking up for in March, which has been really similar to what I've been picking up on as well. So there is a lot of good energy stuff and healing in here, and I'm super excited for you all to get into this episode. If you love this episode, please share it with a friend or family member who would love it too. And I would absolutely adore you if you commented, rated, and reviewed on either Spotify or Apple. Only takes about a minute or so, and it would make me so happy just to connect with you there and hear what episodes you are really vibing with. All right, everyone, I will see you on the other side. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. I am super excited to have Alia Lovely on the podcast today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. So excited to talk to you.
So a question that I ask every person who comes on the podcast, just because I think it's so fascinating seeing how the Divine Feminine expresses herself so uniquely in each person, I would love to hear, how do you connect with the Divine Feminine?
I would say that for myself, I'm defining the divine feminine differently, because I always say that the divine feminine is inward directed energy and like how I'm letting myself receive things. And so if I ever find that I'm in like a hyper vigilant mood, or I'm just so action oriented, or I have to get this done or get that done, I even noticed it this past week that like my anxiety really starts to kick up because it's not in alignment with like the vibration that my body actually wants to be in. And so I always, always, always return to my bathtub. My bathtub is a great quiet space that I light with candles, and I put some crystals up, and Epsom salt is my favorite grounding tool. And I allow myself to just relax and sit back and tell myself, okay, I don't need to be doing anything right now. Like me sitting and resting is creating, which is still an action, but it's a divine feminine action that allows me to receive that inspiration and that connection to my spiritual side, spiritual self, whatever you want to call it. And that's how I connect to myself. Like to me, the divine feminine, if I were defining that for myself, is me. And so like, how am I connecting to me? How am I becoming more aware of me and like how I'm feeling? How do I connect with my body? How do I connect with my soul? And yeah, I think that's it. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's so beautiful. And I connect with that a lot. I've recently been so into sea salt baths. Like sometimes I feel like I do it every night. I mean, water is such a cleansing, purifying, beautiful expression of divine feminine anyways to connect with regularly. And I'm such a water person.
Yeah.
But like being in the bathtub is like being in the womb. Like you're so held in there and like just so cozy. And like you said, you know, a lot of the women who listen to this podcast can really resonate with that hypervigilance and always being in action oriented. And you feel like, oh, where's my worth if I'm not actually what I'm doing, what I'm producing? It really is that flip, right? Of like, oh, that being and me just being in my own energy and grounded is enough.
Absolutely.
What I love about your personal story of how you kind of came into spirituality, even though it's kind of like a never-ending journey, that you kind of saw spirits at like a very young age and grew up, I think, either Christian or Catholic.
Christian.
And it kind of made you question those things and make you think like, oh gosh, like there's something wrong with me and I've gotten away from it. How did you begin to start trusting your intuition again, even though maybe like people who are authority figures for you were telling you otherwise? What do those practices look like, and how did you begin to embody trust in your intuition again?
That's a big question because it was such a process. It came through actually when I moved to New York, and I was in the middle of like trying to consider whether or not I was going to stay in my marriage at the time. And I had this partner who was very emotionally abusive and very like gaslighty. And so when I did have intuition, things come up, we had a lot of weird stuff that would happen in our house. I remember one time we were sitting at my desk and one like a can, just like this, like a LaCroix can or something, just like slid across the desk and like kind of jumped off, like someone hit it. And we both saw it. We were like, whoa. My dog would always like go and stand at the bottom of the stairs and look up. And then I'd hear like footsteps upstairs. There's all kinds of weird stuff that would happen in the house. And I would, you know, it's not like I needed to trust my intuition to know that like something was going on. It was very physical and very loud. And, but knowing that I was in a relationship where this person was always, wouldn't believe me or whatever, it always made me think that I was crazy. And I hated that feeling because it was similar to when I was younger and I would say something, to, you know, my grandparents or, you know, whoever, and people being like, that's super weird. Like, you know, don't say that. People think you're weird or, you know, just like not really embracing those things that were happening. Later, I found out, somewhere around the age of 10 that my dad also sees things like that, but it was just something we didn't talk about. And within our Christian faith, you know, some of it was okay, but it had to be framed right. It had to be framed within biblical terms. And I was like, I'm just not seeing it that way. Like, this is not how it's coming to me. So it just felt like something kind of hidden away. And so when I was in that tumultuous emotional relationship, when I moved to New York, I had just like, I'd had a barrage of experiences that really were like, all right, like you got to get out of this. Like if you don't get out of this, this could end up killing you. Like this could end up being like really, really bad for you in a lot of ways. Not saying that he would have threatened that or anything like that, but like it could just be a really bad situation for you. And so at some point, like I started to meet people that ended up becoming the gateway. And like, it happened so weirdly. I remember exactly, I was at a wedding event that I was shooting, and there was a woman who walked in who, for whatever reason, I just felt so drawn to her. Like, she stood out like nobody else. And I thought, you know what? I need to talk to her. I don't know why I need to talk to her, but I need to talk to her. And so I walked up to her and I was like, oh my God, like, I don't know what it is about you. There's like a light on your face. Like, I needed to speak to you. And she was so receiving of that. She was like, okay, yeah. Like, why do we need to talk? Let's get into that, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't know. I'm just having a lot of these weird spiritual experiences that I can't explain. Mind you, this is not the avenue or the venue to be talking about this kind of stuff at all. So it's so super bizarre that I was able to speak to her in that way. And she didn't think it was weird at all. But she was like, my ex-fiance has very similar experiences to you. You should talk to him. And so she connected me to my friend, Dustin James, who is like a intuitive clairvoyant person who does all this stuff. And he just took a call with me just to discuss the process of trusting your intuition. What's that look like? How to know if you're psychic and all those things. So he was like the gateway drug, you know, like into that. And then I started going like sound baths and like all the stuff that everybody does when they first get their awakening. And they're like, oh, you know, I'm just really discovering myself. Crystals, yay. It was in that I started to see the process of like, wait a minute, like I'm hearing something inside of my spirit that is telling me to do something. And every time I do it, like really good things come out of it. Like, yep, there's also the voice that like comes up and bad things happen, or like, you know, like the things that are not like less than ideal. But more and more I started to trust it, the more and more I listened to it, the more I meditated, the more I got into like, what is my inner voice saying? The more I would see really amazing things happen in my life, like just whether or not it was a nudge to go talk to someone or go ahead and book that flight, or I have a feeling I need to be here at this time, or, you know, it just became stronger and stronger. And at some point I came into a reckoning of like, what is the difference between intuition and anxiety? And I think that's a question that everybody has, because it's like, well, what if this happens and I trust the wrong thing or whatever? I'm like, that's your anxiety talking right now. Like, what if in the fear or whatever is always an anxious thought. And since I'm a super anxious person, I got really good at being able to hear the distinguished nuance of anxiety versus intuition coming. And it became like my thing I wanted to master. And so now I know distinctly what my anxiety sounds like. And even though it can still throw me off, I'm not like that much of a master. It is something I can at least have the awareness around to question and go like, is this my anxiety talking or is this my intuition? Like, what does my intuition sound like? My intuition sounds like loving kindness. It sounds like your granny tapping you on the shoulder and being like, baby, hey, what do you need? You know, oh, maybe that, you know, it's something so soft and like unobtrusive that like anxiety is like diametrically opposed. It's so intrusive. It's so pushy. It's so like in your face. And I think that the only confusion that it could be is if your intuition is trying to save you from something dangerous in the moment, that it would be that loud. But even then, it's not like I'm posing you with a question to consider all the facets of the fears and the things that happen. It's usually like, don't fucking do that. Like, it's just like a right in your face, you know, kind of thing. So, sorry, can we curse on this podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. sorry. It's a good meeting. Anyway, so I just became in love with discovering like, how does my intuition speak to me versus when it doesn't. And even like the title of my podcast, Spiritual Shit, was an intuitive thing. I just heard it audibly to the point, like when you start really doing that, it becomes one of your strongest clairs. Like you just become really like in tune with that. And I don't think it's really anything that can be taken away. Like I was a very intuitive child. It's just that like I had been conditioned out of it. So here I am trying to pull back the layers and pull off the conditioning. It's like if you're in a really beautiful house that had really amazing hardwoods and they just kept putting carpet and carpet and carpet and carpet. And pretty soon you're walking on really like mildewy, yucky, bunchy kind of flooring that doesn't feel very stable. And you have to just keep pulling back the layers until you get to the beauty that was underneath there all along.
It's so true. It's once you begin to go on your own path and just try it out. And I always say too, like,
your doubt will show you the way anyways, because it's going to show you, hey, that actually didn't work for me anymore when I tried someone else's path or what someone else was saying. And sometimes, you know, we have to learn the hard way that way. But that just, I feel like, strengthens your trust and your intuition and learning what that voice sounds like even more. And what's so cool, I'm hearing like the inner voice and the clairaudience is really strong for you. I love to hear like how else your intuitive gifts come forward to you and how you're able to process them all.
Well, I think clairaudience is interesting because like my partner asked me the other day, he was like, is it easier for you that you don't see like symbols and things like that, that you just hear stuff, someone says something to you? And I was like, kind of in a way, it makes it a little bit easier for me because I feel like the guidance, I feel like someone, I'm talking to someone. It's like you're hearing your inner voice. Sometimes it feels like it's audible. It's so loud. And for instance, an example is I have this thing called conscious community. And it started off as mystery school where I was like gathering all of our mystics and we were practicing our gifts and all that kind of stuff. But instead I got a message that I was like, I need to change it and make it a bit more open for people who are just discovering spirituality, not people who are just trying to learn more about their practitioner type gifts. Like I want to learn how to read cards and stuff like that. So I opened it up that way, but then I got this message so smack dab in the middle of my forehead that said, you need to make it free. And I was like, oh, this is difficult because this is like my primary income, like my membership paywall kind of thing or whatever is how I pay for my shit. It's how I pay for my bills. We've got three kids, you know, like it's a lot to do. And I just kept getting this pressing, you need to make it free. And I'm like, this is not in alignment with my fears. Like, oh, how am I going to pay for this? How am I going to pay for that? How are we going to do this? Like we have all these plans coming up. If I do this, this is going to literally cut my income in half. So how are we going to do this? And I couldn't erase that. I kept hearing that over and over. And so then I got a download that said, like, if you want this space to be more diverse, then you need to make it free. Like that doesn't mean that there can't be tiers and other things that you can do to expand it. But if you want the kind of people that you know need access to this, then you need to make it free. And so then it became more of a missional thing. Like, okay, well, like given our current state of economy and what it is and like what the type of community people need and what they need, like I am a community builder in this space. And if I believe in my mission, which is like, you know, grounding spirituality, allowing people to come in, giving access to those marginalized voices and so on, then I need to take down the barrier to entry to allow people to come in so that they can find healing, they can find community, they can find their gifts and so on. So then like mortgage payment was coming up and like, I'm being super transparent right here, like income and bills and everything. And I was like, how in the world are we going to do this? And like somehow the money just ends up in my account. Like, it's just like, oh, extra readings got booked or it came from other spaces or so-and-so was like, oh, I just want to give you this donation this week or whatever. And it reminded me of a place that I had been in years ago where I had so much scarcity around money. And it's like, I always knew that healing is not linear. Like once you jump a hurdle, you're not done with that hurdle. Like it's like, let's master the hurdle. Let's raise it a little bit. Let's try this. Let's try that. Like you're going to see this hurdle again. It'll be in different form so you can master this gift. And I know that for me, a lifelong lesson has always been scarcity and fear around money because of the way that I grew up. Like I didn't have access. Like we grew up super poor. Then we switched schools and I was the only Black kid in a white school where people were saying this, that, and the other. Like it was the fear of being ostracized and not having enough. And I thought I need to give community. My greatest wound is my greatest gift here. So my intuition telling me like, hey, this is something that you need to do because I don't have the foresight to know the benefit that that's going to bring me later. Like we'll see in a year or something, what it does and what it turns into and how it transforms. But something really cool that happened the other day is like, I'm in the middle of making a new deck, like my own deck, my own reading card, reading oracles deck. And I'm super excited about it. And I said, in my mind, I want to sign with Hay House. Like, I really want to sign with Hay House. Like, I don't know why, like I've always saw in my head that that was who I was going to sign with. And then while I'm making the deck, there was this literary agent that I'd spoken to casually, maybe a year ago, who messages me that day. Like, hey, are you working on a deck or a book? I'd love to hear it. I'd love to be interested. Let's see how we can connect you. And I'm like, ooh, you know, she's like two steps away from Hay House. Like she'd be interested to help me, blah, blah, blah. And then the morning that we got some of the first cards done, I get a DM on Instagram from someone who is an associate publisher at Hay House saying, hey, we're really interested in collaborating. You're interested in doing anything for us or whatever. And I'm like, yes, you're right on time. Thank you. Like, okay. So like I still don't know if anything is going to come out of that. This is not a promise or a guarantee, but it showed me how powerful I am when I trust my intuition, that other opportunities will come. Other things will come in and fill in the gap if I don't think and lead with that fear-based anxiety mind. So to answer your question, how do the gifts come in and how do I process them all? When it comes in, I have learned to trust that significantly, even if I can't see what the outcome is yet. To me, I believe that the universe rewards faith. And I say that cautiously, because when we think about, I was raised in a Christian background where things are very dogmatic. You have to have faith. You have to do something without seeing and blah, blah, blah. And God will blah, blah, blah. I don't believe in that. What I believe in is that my inner wisdom, my higher knowing, my higher self knows something that I don't know and I can't see yet. And if I can get more in tune with that voice, not my external world, not with the world, like, oh, the economy is crashing or whatever, bleh. I don't need to pay attention to any of that. If I can get so in tune and have a deep, deep relationship with processing that inner wisdom and inner intuition, I can't go wrong. I can't fuck up. I can't mess up. I will always have my lessons, but I will process them through me being in alignment with myself at all times. And like, so for instance, I used to be in a relationship that was not in alignment with self. It was always telling me you're wrong, or you don't know anything, or you're crazy or whatever. And I had all this external output telling me, because we're always looking for further outward validation, right? We're always looking for someone else to confirm something that we think that we know. And so even when I was talking to my partner, I was like, I think I should make it free. I'm not sure. Like, I'm afraid, blah, blah, blah. He's like, you're doing what? Like, and like, thankfully my partner has seen me in this like intuition spring and how it can kind of turn out. He's like, I trust you. Like what you say goes, like, I bet it's a good idea. You know, it's okay. But all that to say, like, it can be at times overwhelming because you're not sure what to do with the information. For myself, it's been such a journey and being able to process that. Cause I do also see like visually things as well. And I get pictures and stuff, and it comes out most like when I'm doing oracle readings and channeling, but it is literally nothing mystical about it. It's literally just listening to yourself. Like, you process it because it's like, it's coming from you. It's coming from inside of you. And if, even if there's a voice that's not as pleasing or whatever, you're going to figure it out. Like, you may have a, like you said, a doubt voice that comes in and you follow it and go, oh my God, I can't trust my intuition because this doubt thing led me astray. No, it told you what that voice sounds like when you follow it, what happens. If it sounds like this, it's the distinction and understanding and knowing. It's like if you had a friend that like someone you didn't know very well or whatever, and you get in a relationship with them and then they show you who they really are. And you're like, oh man, I invested all that time. I did all this and blah, blah, blah. And they turned out to be this horrible person. And it's like, that wasn't your mistake. Like, you learn that this is the type of behavior that doesn't align with you. So it's taught you in a way. And a lot of times, unfortunately, in our society, we never see pain as our teacher. We never see the disappointment or the lack of expectation or like things when things get hard as something that can benefit us greatly in the long run. Instead, we are short-term, short-sighted, gratitude instant, where we then turn away from ourselves if it doesn't turn out exactly the way we expected it. And that to me makes it really hard to process your gifts, because your gifts will need that testing process for you to get to know it the same way you do with relationships in your life. It's a building a relationship with yourself.
Are you deeply interested in becoming an intuitive healer? Are you obsessed with chakras, spirituality, tarot cards, and you want to build a divine connection with your spirit guides? Well, my signature Reiki 1 and 2 certification course launches January 3rd. This is a 4-week program to become an intuitive healer. You're going to learn my 4-step process on how to strengthen your intuitive gifts by clearing your energy, learning what unique intuitive gifts are bestowed upon you, and how you can start sharing them with your community. This is unlike any other Reiki program, because not only are you clearing energetic blockages for your personal healing journey and being able to unlock your fullest potential, you're also going to have the resources and tools to learn how to start sharing your gifts immediately after the program, so you can actually start receiving compensation for your gifts and know exactly what kind of offerings you want to bring to the world. This is my signature program that I've been leading for over the past 5 years. Absolutely love seeing all the different types of healers that come into this program. They could be nurse practitioners, they could be licensed therapists, physical therapists, teachers. And it's so amazing seeing how each of the healers feel and experience this Reiki energy and express it in such a unique way. I've had lots of healers infuse this Reiki energy into their one-on-one sessions. I've had healers use them in their coaching programs and being able to teach and share the Reiki energy with others. There's so much in this program that I'm so excited for you to embody and step into your soul purpose. December 20th is the last day to sign up. So definitely, if you are interested, sign up with the link in the show notes. There's a payment plan option or an option to pay in full. And just for my sweet listeners, you can receive $111 off when you type in the code capital I am a healer. You will also receive a personalized goddess card reading from me when you sign up. I am so excited for you to step into the healer you were always meant to be. For more questions, you can email me at angelica@angelicarosenary.com. Now back to this episode. I love all these aspects of trust that you're bringing in, because honestly, like the work that I do, especially with the women in my community, like that's what I feel like it really comes down to. And I'm hearing, like, I want to pull away a lot of golden nuggets that you had from there. Like, in order to trust, there has to be like a certain level of surrender, especially of trusting into the unknown. Because like you said, like you can only see a certain amount in front of you and you're not supposed to have the bigger picture there. And that's what makes it such a leap of faith or a risk that you're taking, is because you're trusting that it's going to work out in whatever way that it needs to. Not exactly the way that you may have pictured it was going to, but you trust that you will be taken care of. And it's so important that you're aware of what your core wound is, because that's where you can be like, oh, that's how I know, because this is coming up again, even though it caught me off guard yet again. It wore a different costume and I'm like, oh man, I can't see it.
Hi, I know you.
Like so well. But like, I love that moment. You're like, oh my God, here it is again. It's the same damn thing. And it's so important to get behind that. And the last thing too, I think, is like really trusting those desires. Like if it's coming from within you and you have a desire of wanting to create it and having to come into full bloom, like trusting that that core desire is meant to happen, but maybe not necessarily like the whole green grass, blue sky, how you may initially had envisioned it in the first place.
Exactly.
Okay. So something else that I really love about your work, and I follow your podcast, Spiritual Shit. So those who don't listen yet, definitely give it a follow. I love that you talk about connecting with guides and maybe aliens too. I want to hear your thoughts on like, is there a difference? Like, who are we connecting with? Obviously, we know the voices of our ancestors and can connect with them in a very specific way. But how do we really distinguish? Do we need to distinguish between guides, angels, and aliens?
No. In short, I don't know. Like, I think like it's really novel when we sit and try to dissect what we don't understand. And I think it's beautiful. It's fun. It's exciting to think about like connecting with external entities. But at the same time, it's like, if the information is coming in and there's assistance, then it really doesn't matter who's doing it, who's giving it or whatever. Like, you know, you have these people that are like, oh, I'm a starseed this and I'm this and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, but ultimately you're a human. So like you're living the human experience. You chose to be here. You anchor yourself in that identity. And so in that way, like we do have, I know that I have guides that help, and like, there are people that come in that I'm just like, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you are, but you're giving me this information. Like, cool. Thank you. So you're being assisted. And in that way, for me, it doesn't actually matter. Like for some people it does, and that's okay. Like, but personally, I haven't seen that actually adds any value to what they're saying, how they're communicating, if they're helping. And so what's interesting, my partner had this like thought, and he's like, I don't know if I really want the attention of interdimensional beings. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, I just feel like if they're talking to us and they're connecting with us, then they might have ulterior motives. Like maybe that they have some lesson to complete or whatever. Maybe they are assisting and they're benevolent. They're not malicious, but they have a motive if they're coming and paying attention to us. If I'm going out to help an ant, like, what is the point of that? And I'm like, you don't know that humans aren't like higher on the pedestal just because we can't see beyond that. We don't know what our ethereal information is doing or whatever. Maybe we're the, you know, the apex of all the groups of interdimensionals. I don't know. But all that to say, I don't think so, given our world and the state that it's in. I don't think so at all. But if that be the case, like, I think that sometimes we get really caught up on trying to decipher what it is instead of how it feels. And I think that how it feels, like, you know, when you get information from something that isn't of light, like, at least I do, I know that I'm like, nope, get out of my house. Like, there is a spirit, something in our house currently that is, I wouldn't say it's malevolent or benevolent. It's just there. And it's like, you know, waking my kid up at night and doing weird stuff and like opening gates and like whatever. And I'm like, that's super annoying. And I don't need to know if you used to live in this house, if you're an angel, if you're an alien or whatever, cut it out. So ultimately, like, how does it make you feel to connect with that? I know that when I was in New York, I had an experience that I can't explain very well. I can't tell if I saw it in my third eye or if I saw it physically because it was so very real. But I had what looked like the biggest bird I have ever seen, kind of step into my, my bedroom and scared the shit out of me. Like, I absolutely scared. I was like in this place where I was like, so seeking, I was like, I'm so ready for this novel experience to come back. I used to see, and I used to be able to hear in this way before I was like 12 or whatever, but, I'm like, I'm ready to see it. I'm ready to see it. And I kind of like turned over my shoulder and got like a glimpse of like what looked like someone peeking in like, hey, is it okay? And I like lost my shit. I'm like, no, not ready. I'm not ready. So because of that, like, I don't know if like, you know, me being able to see is like the best thing for me. But since then, the last like few weeks, I've been seeing orbs upon orbs upon orbs. And like, to the point where I'm like, it doesn't even bother me. And I did ask a while ago, like, if I'm to get my sight back, like my spiritual sight back, then like, let it, like, give me some, like, let it build up. Let me get really comfortable with seeing orbs and then shadows and then whatever. So that way I just saw one just now. So that way I'm not like freaking out when it does happen, you know? My daughter has these big puffs of like indigo light that pops around her. And like, I don't know if she's an indigo child or whatever they call, like the ones that don't have any past lives and stuff like that. But I noticed it when she was like a week old. Like it was just like these big pops of light that look like small fireworks around her. So I did get my eyes checked just to make sure. And I was like, what if something's going on? You know, like what if it's like, it could be a brain thing, it could be a wiring thing or whatever, but I only see them around her. So I thought like, well, if they're popping up, I should be seeing them everywhere. You know, like I just see them when she laughs really loud, when she's crying, she's really upset. I see them in the dark, like it can be pitch black dark and then, you know, just like flash of light, I'm trying to put her to sleep. When she laughs or gets really excited, the lights flicker. Like, it's just like stuff like that. I'm like, ooh, this is a type of energy, you know, like who am I dealing with here? So I don't think it's as important for me to try to decipher like what kind of child she is. Is she a rainbow? Is she an indigo? Is she this? Is she that? It doesn't matter. She's my kid. She's a human. Like I know, as far as I know. And in that, like, how does it make me feel when these lights flicker and when this or whatever? To me, it just says like, wow, she's really powerful. She really affects the energy around her. We went to a farm, not a farm. We went to like this like forest cabin, like whatever. And they happen to have chickens and stuff on there on the property. And when she came around, they just locked to her. Not me, not my husband, like not the other people who were around, like just like all of them just like lining up to be around her. And then we had this cat follow us home. We walked back to the cabin we were staying at and the cat wouldn't leave, like just wouldn't leave. And I was like, y'all have a cat? And they're like, no, we don't have a cat. And I'm like, where did this cat come from? Like just staying at the window, like purring, pawing to be at her, whatever. When she walked away, it waited by the door. I came up and I was like, maybe it just likes to play with people. No, didn't give a crap about me. Like she came back to the window and she's going, cat. Aww. And it just was like, it looked like it was just like had seen God. And so I'm like, she's going to end up being, you know, someone who's like with animals or nature or something like that. But you know, she's also a read on energy of people. Like there are certain people that I love, people that are in my life or whatever, that she's like, don't let them hug me. Don't let them touch me. Complete strangers should walk up to and hug. Totally fine. Or like other friends or whatever, but she's very picky about her energy. All that to say, like I've seen things in her room, like little orbs flying in her room or whatever. And I'm like, I can't tell who, what is in there, whether it be an alien, angel, like whatever, but how am I feeling when it's around. Like at times I feel like, oh, someone's watching over her. At times, again, this is like a question of intuition. At times I'm like, somebody's messing with her, like is attracted to her energy. Don't like that. I go in, I sage, I put the, you know, crystals, I speak over her or room or whatever, do our rituals. And like, I also know that that's also her journey. Like she's going to have her own journey with her spiritual life. And so I can't necessarily protect her with that. But just to say that, like, how does it make you feel? Like, I think we sometimes spend a lot of time trying to figure out and decipher what's what. And like, while that's fine, like, and it's okay, like, especially if you're like me, a researcher who just loves information, but at the end of the day, we really can't know. Even if we wanted to, we don't know if we're living in a simulation. We don't know if this is actually Earth school. We don't know except by what we're feeling when we're interacting with that information. And so everybody's going to have a different perspective on what that is to them, because it is their experience in this world and what they're meant to learn. So everybody could be right while everybody is quote unquote wrong, because it's their journey and what they're to experience, whether it be their angels, their guides, their, you know, ancestors, or if that's the right political party to align with, or if you're going to be a racist or not, or whatever. It's like, that's your journey. According to the law of one, which I still use as a semi foundation for my belief system, it makes the most sense for me out of all the channeled works, that we're all one. So whether they be interdimensionals or not, like, I'm still also well connected. I don't want to give my power away to any entity at all. Like, I could be incredibly powerful and came into this body just to experience the human experience. So I don't want to offer that to some angel, alien, or guide thinking that they have more power and knowledge than I do.
Definitely. And it pulls it back to that all of like embodiment, like, okay, why was I given this physical body? Yeah, exactly. How does this message actually feel in my physical body? How am I using this vessel, this tool, this instrument that I have so that I can really understand this line of communication? And it really is so subjective to your own experience. Like I see kind of these like flashes of purple lights for me. And for me, that's specifically connecting with my guides, and they'll kind of, that's when they're sending me like a message or something like that. And like, I know it feels more like a psychic energy, like no one else can see it, but it's something that like I really trust and something that I'm learning to kind of like lean into. And it's interesting to see the evolution of spirituality, at least like my own experience was really wanting to be out of body with it. And I astral project, dream, whatever you want to call it, like very clearly all every night. That's a huge way. And I love that. My body feels safe going and traveling and all that type of stuff.
Fun.
It's so fun. Like I get to go to all different worlds and I'm like, yes. And then recently I've really been questioning this idea of like, oh, like how much of this is actually my trauma response of wanting to dissociate from my human body and not wanting to feel, and how much of this is
a very self-aware point.
Thank you. Yeah, it's something I've just been kind of like questioning of like, oh, is this me just wanting to like leave my body and not actually feel the uncomfortable emotions and the discomfort of what it's like to be in a human body all the time? And how much of this is actually like giving me quality and giving me actual intuitive wisdom that I'm using in my everyday life, which is really helpful. And I'm really grateful for it as well. So it's interesting to kind of toy with that, and how I've, at least in my own experience and, you know, my own field of what I'm seeing in my own community, is there's such a shift towards more embodiment rituals. And okay, how does this spirituality land and feel in my body? So I really love that tool that you're using. And I'm curious, you're talking about your baby girl, and I'm so curious to hear, like, are there any other ways of like, now knowing what you know about spirituality and the practices and rituals that you have, has that shifted the way in which you are bringing her up? Because at the same time, you want to foster, like, keep her in this like pristine innocence, childlike wonder. But at the same time, like, you know, she's going to come across pain and suffering in her own way. You don't want to get in that way. So yeah, what has that experience been like for you?
You know, being a mother is the hardest and most beautiful thing I've ever done. And in that way, she is testing my spirituality in a lot of ways. She came in like a bullet and just is the sassiest, like already like, no, I don't want, you know, like she knows who she is, what she wants and what she doesn't want. And I know that from a spiritual perspective, I don't want to take that from her. I don't want to dampen her light in any way. I want her to know herself. I want her to know what she thinks and what she doesn't think. And that does come from how our parenting, our childhood. We're not going to be perfect. Like, we're always going to fuck our kid up in some way or another. But that's their, we don't want to take away from their karma either, like what they're here to learn. And so in that way, I do the best that I can to make sure, I mean, she's almost two, you know, like it's not like we've had like really deep talks about anything yet, but I want to make sure that she feels safe and acknowledging how she feels to foster a trust in her own intuition and what she's saying. So for instance, if she falls down, I'm never one to say, oh, you're okay. Because if she's not okay, I don't want her to learn that I'm telling her she's fine when she feels like she's not. So instead, you know, we've just said, okay, we've acknowledged that or whatever. She's not like talking a lot. She's maybe like 100 something words, but she has started to say, I'm sad when she's upset. Or when something's like the TV's not playing, I want to watch Miss Rachel. I'm sad, you know, or like we're having to change her diaper and she doesn't want to change her diaper right now. I'm sad. And like, oh, okay, you're sad. Okay, I'm sorry. You know, like, let me give you a hug. Like, all right, we still have to do this thing. And her acknowledging her emotions at this age to me is like a gift, because in the middle of her screaming and tearing and crying or whatever, she goes, I'm sad. And I'm like, yeah, it's okay to be sad. And she stops crying. Like, just to acknowledge that feeling, like, this is how I'm feeling, you know how I'm feeling, is enough for her to regulate her emotions almost, like, which is super early to regulate. Like, no kid can really regulate their emotions until they're like up into their, you know, double digits. But I'm seeing that being able to give her the space to feel what she feels will give her the space to lean into her own intuition. When she's feeling something, she's like, something don't feel right or whatever, that she'll trust it. And to me, that's super important, because it was such a journey to go back and have to uncover the hardwoods, as I said earlier, about my own intuition, because I was often taught that I'm wrong, or what you're thinking is not right, or that's not actually how things are, or, you know, whatever, religious trauma, hashtag. So in that, I had a lot of like decision paralysis, didn't want to do it wrong, didn't want to upset anyone. And I just don't want her to have that. Like, I know that like being a parent and being someone who is very like type A, there's going to be things that she's going to get. And I'm not going to be able to stop that from happening because of our dynamic, but I'm very, very aware of that in that way. And I'm actually trying to do a better job with that when it comes to my stepkids, because they came in, I came to be their stepmom at like 6 and 9, you know, like they're already developing a lot of those things. They've already got a lot of that from their mother or their dad. And so it's like, it's harder even, because it's like, they're not my children. And even though I love them dearly and would give the world for them, like, I just, it's not the same. So in that, like, it's like how, cause I don't have the same input in their life, you know, the way that their mom does. And that's okay. Like, I'm not trying to take that place, but as a authority figure in their life, someone else who cares about them, I'm more like a friend figure or an aunt or something, kind of more than I am their mom. And in that, like, I can create good awareness around like, what are you feeling? How are you feeling? You know, we have this little ESP game that I bought at the store, found it or whatever, Zellner or something. I don't know the author, but the game is basically a bunch of shapes and colors. And so you pull it and what am I thinking? Like, what is the card or whatever? And we test it. So every once in a while, when they're there at dinner time or something like that, we pull the game out and then we test it. And almost, I would say like 9 out of 10 times, the kids will at least get one of them right, the shape or the color. And so without telling them, I'm trying to help you train your intuition, like I'm trying to help them trust themselves and let them like let themselves feel what it feels like when it is right versus when it's wrong. So that way they can start to strengthen that as a skill, because I do think those children have a lot to peel back based on their mother had a lot of just a lot of trauma growing up and stuff that she's been having to sort through. And she's doing a lot better now, but they're maybe having a lot of imprint from that. So they're also learning too how to peel back those layers, how to get back to what it is that they are really feeling. Like the oldest, she very often says, like, what do you want me to draw? Like, what do you think I should draw? What do you think I should do this? Like, what color do you think should be my favorite? And I'm like, no, nobody should be telling you what your favorite color is. Like, what do you think? And trying to instill in her that it's okay for you to have your own mindset, your own mind, but she's so afraid of making a mistake that it paralyzes her own even desire. And so that's how, for me, it's changed the way that I'm parenting or trying to parent and trying to influence my children so that way they can trust themselves and not lean so hard on external influences. Because what's going to happen is when they get to school, or at least when Veda gets to school, like she's got her own mind. I wouldn't ever believe from where she's at right now that she's going to be a follower. Like if someone had told me, like she was at school and she was doing what all the other girls do, I said, that's not my kid. Nope. She would be the one starting the trouble. She was the one, like she had the idea. Like she's the one who initiated spraying, painting the bathrooms or whatever the thing was, but she wasn't following somebody else into it based off her personality today. And I want to keep that in her. Like, so that way she can, when it comes to those big, deep, intuitive types of decisions, stuff like that, she trusts herself over anyone else.
Totally. I think it so starts with emotions for sure. It's like really being able to trust and feel those emotions. Like if I think about where a lot of my conditionings and false beliefs really picked up from, it's those early childhood moments where I wasn't allowed to feel what I was meant to feel and blocking and numbing them out. And it's so interesting how it gets better and better with each generation. Like I'm so excited to see the newest generation come and like what they're going to create from that. Cause like I see the pain and suffering that my parents and their generation have gone through from having like no emotional intelligence, at least from like my perspective. I'm like, I don't even know how you guys are operating life right now. Yeah. So like, wow, like what a gift that they're going to come out into this world just already, you know, knowing that like emotion is the way to go. And so interesting too, like when we bring in school systems, I was talking about this with a friend yesterday, like that needs to be like core principles taught. Like let's bring that into the system. But that's a whole other conversation.
Well, I got a friend who she's not even spiritual, not at all. She's so like dedicated to her children and their emotional regulation that she has spent 10 years trying to implement a mindfulness class into her district. She's a Spanish teacher. And she decided she was going to get all the certification behind mindfulness so that way she can start teaching in his schools. And now they've adopted her curriculum. So she's teaching other teachers how to do it so they can put it in their schools and their classes to help children learn about their emotional state, learn about emotional regulation, learn about like what they're thinking, like what they're under, you know, like mindset is going. Like it's incredible. So it's funny because it's like she's not even into this stuff. Like, if anything, she's opposite of this stuff. But that's something that was important for her to bring to school. And, you know, it's happening on its own.
That's what's also really cool too. It's such a good point of like, you don't have to be in the spirituality world to like bring someone there into there. It's like, it's clicking, it's coming online a lot and everyone's on their own journey with it, which is really cool to see. Something I'm also really curious about, because I know that you do readings and what I love seeing, especially in my community, is I noticed that there's like themes that happen. I mean, related to astrology, we're all going through similar things, but I'm curious if there's any kind of like collective themes that have been coming up for your readings that you're noticing right now.
Yeah. So what's really funny about doing the cards is that there is as many combinations in the cards as you have, there are stars in the sky. Like it is very improbable that you would be picking a lot of the same cards for different clients and seeing that there's kind of a theme going on within the communities. And I almost think that's how we orbit. Like we're attracted to people who are going through the same thing. So like there are going to be themes around that in my own community. Like when we're going through, I'm like, anybody feeling this right now? And then everybody's like, oh my God, yeah. You know, like it's just like one after another. I'm going through this. Oh my God, it's so similar to what I'm going through. So in that way, like we're all one, right? We're all opening each door or whatever. The common theme that I see right now is a high level of circulation of old lessons coming back for mastery. So very much to what I said earlier about like financial stress, things like that or whatever. I'm seeing people, it's not the same thing. It's just that like, what is going on that my life is getting hard in a way that it hasn't been in a really long time. And in that way, it's like recognizing the costume you said earlier. I'm seeing at least a lot of that, like we're having to come into reckoning of really digging up those old roots so that we can move forward. I have been experiencing a host of what people call ascension symptoms. And I don't know if they're ascension symptoms or not. I'm just like worried about my health because like my heart has been palpitating out of control. Like I have just felt like this tightness in my chest and a lot of the pops of orbs and whatever are coming along. And I'm like, maybe my blood pressure is high. Maybe I check this, check that or whatever. I mean, I'm a fairly healthy person, but it's like for the last week, it's just been like, I can't sleep. I'm having all this like whatever. And I'm having the most amount of intuitive clarity that I've had in a long time. So I was like, what is that? So then I asked my community, like, are y'all feeling that? Oh my God, yes. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't this, I couldn't that. So I definitely do think that there's a shift happening, and something that I think has been, I keep hearing as a theme is that March is like a big opener. Like for whatever reason, March is going to be a big, like finally getting over the hump for a lot of people. Like there's going to be a lot of transition there in March. I don't know why it's March or what's coming in March or anything like that. But in the same way, I felt this feeling right before COVID happened. And I said it, I have several podcasts where I'm like, 2020 is going to be a big one. Like something's coming. I don't know what's coming yet. I don't know. Like there's going to be a huge shift in a major way, major awakenings, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I'm just talking out of my ass. Like, I'm like, not really, but like my intuition is coming through and I'm like, I don't know what it is, but it's going to be something. And then boom, COVID hits. And we had no idea it was going to be what it was. Like no idea how it was going to change our lives in that way. How fearful we felt, how isolated we felt. And like, it, what was interesting about that time period for me is that it was actually the easiest time of my life. Like oddly, like it was, it, you thought it was going to be the worst. And then suddenly it was like, my business took off. My podcast took off. Finances were good. I met my partner. I got pregnant. Like we got a house, like all of the stuff that like shouldn't have been able to happen, happened during that time. And happened during that time. And it was like, wow. Like I didn't know that that was going to be such a transformative year. I had no idea what we were going into. So I can't speak on it for sure, but like what I'm getting from everybody else and the feedback and my own is like something's going to be really big about March this year. Like there's going to be a transition. So even if it does look like it's going to be scary or weird or whatever, like I don't have that trepidation anymore because after what we've gone through, like it was actually really good for me. Like not to say that it wasn't hard for other people. I just like, I don't want to take that for granted, but just when we're in that space of like fear and like limiting beliefs or whatever, we can tend to close ourselves off to opportunities and other ways that growth is available to us that we can transition into higher spaces that we could have maybe never dreamt of. And so like, it's about a perspective shift really. So that's the common theme that I'm seeing right now.
Totally. I love that. That feels really aligned. I get three chills in a row when something's like really, really true. And I started to feel that as soon as you were speaking on like doing the really deep inner work. I've been feeling that a lot in January and February, just on a personal level. And then, you know, reflected in my community, of course, of like my deepest wound, something that I, you know, kind of had been missing for a really long time, all of a sudden came in a dream. And it's just been so like, whoa, like it just completely opened me up. And there's been so much like digging and healing and upheaval. And I always know that there's so much transformation and things that are changing right now that I know when things are going to like fall and lock into place, like March does for me, like March or April is like, you're starting to see how those changes actually turn out in like your external world. So
yeah,
that all feels like really aligned. That's really cool that you're noticing. It's like the same feeling that you're experiencing with COVID, and COVID's so interesting because of course we each have our individual experiences with that. But you know, I've heard that from a lot of people too. It's like, no, it actually was really good for me, whether it was like, okay, now I don't even have, I can work on my boundaries and like say no to a lot of things, and it took it off the plate for me. So now I could actually just be aligned with what I want to be doing in my life. And for others, like that was the beginning of my Saturn return, which was the biggest up level in my life. Of I learned like everywhere in my life changed completely. Thank God it did. Like I'm a completely different person, but like so much had to be unraveled and like taken up during that time. So it was good for me. There was a lot of change, but I was definitely experiencing like the polarity of it on the other side. So yeah, anyways, that's to say like when you do the deep inner work and when you're really like shoveling out this, and the change can feel really good. Like you said, like it could bring really good opportunities because you're now open to them.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time and your wisdom. I love hearing you just like channel wisdom and it comes through you and it's so embodied. It's interesting that you say like, we've had a passive anxiety because I've always just felt such like a grounded and nurturing energy from you.
Thank you. Just
definitely like become a superpower for you. So thank you so much for your wisdom and sharing your gifts with the world. How else, other than your Instagram, which I'm going to have that linked in the show notes, how else can our community connect with you?
Yeah, you can go to The Lovely Alia on basically everything, patreon.com/TheLovelyAlia to see all of our behind the scenes stuff. You can go to thelovelyalia.com to just, you know, dive and get a reading or join our conscious community and find all my YouTube stuff. And all of my handles are The Lovely Alia as well. I do want to say, if I can hop in real quick, the aspect of anxiety and groundedness, there is something when I speak to my community that literally comes over me. And I think like when I tap into the spirit of whoever or whatever I am, that's what comes through, is there's always like this such a deep groundedness when I put myself in that space of like, all right, what is it I have to say? Like, what do I need to tell our community? So I really deeply think that my higher self or somebody, like, cause I didn't feel like I was properly equipped to be someone to lead people this way. I firmly believe that. Like, I'm a very anxious person, very doubty, and oh no, I'm very worried about stuff. If my husband doesn't answer his phone within 10 minutes, I think he's dead on the side of the road. Like, it's just like a lot of like fear, a lot of fear in my life. And that be most likely because of the way that I was raised. And what's really funny is that in my religious upbringing, my mom used to say, Jesus will, and I'm forgetting how she said it, but it basically equipped the unequipped. So like they'll use someone who is not equipped because they'll be the most humble servant, blah, blah, blah. And like, even though that doesn't align with me today, because I was like, that's dumb. Like, you want to get the most skilled servant, if you will. And I'm not a Christian anymore either, but like there is a part of me that knows that those who think they're the most equipped come with the ego, and they come with like, I know this and I know that and I'm blah, blah, blah. And I come from a space of like, I'm learning with y'all. This is what I'm learning. If it serves you, great. If it doesn't, throw it away. Like, I don't have such a hard grip on like needing to feel right about something because I have no idea. So I think that's where the groundedness comes from, is just like, I'm just like you. Like, we're just on some microphones having a conversation about what we think is going on. And like, if it resonates with people, great. But if it doesn't, it's not gonna hurt my feelings. So
I love that. I love your realness. And it reminds me, one of my teachers from India said, like, if you ever come across like a guru teacher who like thinks that they know more, or like they're so serious and like rigid in their ways, like, and doesn't joke or like make you laugh, or like, I'm always like amazed at his ability to like interweave like his very Vedic, like high wisdom spiritual concepts with like pop culture, you know, yeah. And like understanding like certain songs that come out, like it just brings the humanity in him so much. And I think it's so true and real. Like, the moment you separate from your humanity and like get out of your body and, I don't know, pretend you're something else, there's a disconnect, and it's like,
yeah,
giving away the power and all those things. So yeah, I love your realness.
Thank you.
I hope that episode was nothing short of all the things that you needed to get your spiritual fill, whether that is needing to be more embodied and grounded and learning how to relax your nervous system, all the way talking about astral projecting and angels and spirit guides. I love it all. And there's truly no right or wrong way to connect to spirituality. And that's truly what I hope to bring to this podcast, that there's a plethora of ways to connect to God, spirit. And it's so incredible to find your authentic way in this path and to truly own it. And that's why I love having guests like Alia Lovely on here, who really embody what it's like to follow the spiritual path and be unapologetically themselves. So if you love this episode, please share it with a friend or family member who would love it too. And you can definitely connect with Alia Lovely further by following her on Instagram. And I have that all linked in the show notes. All right, everyone, I hope you have a beautiful rest of your day wherever you're tuning in from, and I will see you in the next episode.
I'm Andrea Askowitz.
And I'm Allison Langer. And we are the hosts of Writing Class Radio, a podcast, but we are so much more. We have writing classes. So if you are looking for live online classes where you can join a community, write to a prompt, get feedback, and get better, check out all our classes at writingclassradio.com and listen to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts and at writingclassradio.com.